greet you in Jesus' name. Good to be here and enjoy this service with you. It's a service in memory. And in memory of, or the communion service is in memory, and a council service is to prepare for that. But I'm glad that we can look back and in memory, consider what Jesus has done for us. And I'm also glad that we can remember what we've been saved from. And I trust that services like this can maybe put a testimony in our lips. And we'd be more vocal and more free with a testimony. And we'd be reminded of what we've been saved from. And next week or tomorrow, we can go out and we meet somebody and we can, in a vibrant way, share what God has done for us. So turn with me for a message this evening. Turn with me to Romans chapter 13. I'm going to keep this brief, but I'd like to read a few verses here and to draw our minds to what I believe this council service and what our council services are all about. Romans chapter 13, and I'd like to read verses 11 to 14. Romans 13, 11, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. I'd like for you to, as you just heard these words, allow those words to speak to you, and think about how they relate to your life and what they're saying to you, especially as it relates to a council service. If you back up to Romans chapter 12 and verses 1 and 2, we have these very familiar verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Romans 12:1 there says, I beseech you that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice to God. And he calls us, in verse 2, then he calls us to transform living. It's only possible, a transformed life. We often focus, and so often we hear these verses read, and we focus on that first phrase, and be not conformed to this world. And that's true. We're called to not be conformed to this world. But then he goes on, and he tells us how it's done. And he says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. And how's it happen? By the renewing of our minds. We need a renewed mind, and we need a mind that is renewed by the Holy Spirit, renewed by Christ working in our hearts. To me, Romans 12, 1 and 2 kind of introduces the rest of the book of Romans. And if you look, read the rest of chapter 12 and 13 and 14 and 15, I believe Paul is describing to the Romans what a transformed life looks like and how a transformed life works out in everyday living. And verses 4 to 8 of chapter 12, he's talking about the members in the body, and he tells us how we ought to be exercising our gifts in the body of Christ, in the church. And then verses 9 down to 16, why Paul deals with interpersonal relationships. He says, let love be without dissimulation. Be kindly affection one to another with brotherly love. And distributing to the necessity of saints. Rejoice with them that rejoice, weep with them that weep, and so on. And then in verses 19 to 20, it deals with, and some of the other verses mixed in there too, but he deals with how we should relate to those, how we should treat those that regard us as enemies. And how do we relate to a person like that? And he says, don't avenge yourself. Verse 20, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him drink. Verse 21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And then in getting into chapter 13, the first 7-8 verses there, very familiar verses, Paul gives teaching on how we're supposed to relate to the civil authorities that are over us, and very challenging verses that each of us are probably fairly familiar with. And then getting into the verses that I just read, I'd like to just look at this in sort of an expository way and just go down over these, what is it? I read four verses and look at these sort of verse by verse and some of the things that Paul calls us to and what he's calling us to as we live the transformed life and have the renewed mind. First of all, verse 11, he says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Is it possible to be a sleepy Christian? Or is it possible to be sleeping and sleeping spiritually and still be a Christian? Paul was writing to, he addressed them in verse 12 there. He addressed them as brethren. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. And I believe that all of us know what it's like in our Christian life to maybe feel overwhelmed. Maybe we're facing temptations or special challenges and we sort of get tired of the fight. Or maybe it's just we get busy with a lot of other things, our schedules and legitimate things. We have families and we need to be focused on those things, or maybe it's something totally different. Maybe we're focused on how much we can get out of life, and not necessarily bad things, but Paul says, wake up. It's high time to wake out of your sleep. It's high time to get focused on the things that really matter and the things that are important in life. And no one of us this evening is immune from becoming spiritually tired and sleepy and less focused on eternal realities that we should be focused on. And I believe that our semi-annual council service and our communion service, I believe there are times that it's sort of a time when we pinch ourselves a little bit to make sure that we're awake and that we're actually who we say we are. And we're actually living a consistent life and we're consistent with our profession. We say we're a Christian and we say we've been born again and a council service is time to take inventory of that. And is it really so? And am I living in victory? Do I have the peace of God in my heart? And it's a time to take special inventory of our relationship with God. It's time to wake up because we have an adversary, the devil himself. And I believe it's in Peter, 1 Peter, where Peter says, he says, be sober, be vigilant, because you have an adversary, the devil. And he's going about like a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour. And to the devil, we're all fair game. He's out to destroy our soul. And so the challenge is, wake up. Be awake. Am I really awake? And am I really taking my Christian life as serious as I should be, or have I gravitated to something that's, you know, I'm just kind of floating along, and I'm not as focused and serious on living a life that is pleasing to God as I should be. Going on to verse 12. He says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. And then he says, the second point I have here is, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. The works of darkness, Paul says, let's cast them off, let's get rid of them. And he goes on to enumerate some of them in verse 13. Not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. A drowsy and discouraged Christian is much more vulnerable and susceptible to getting involved and allowing these kind of besetting sins into his life. You know how it is when, at least it is for me, when I'm tired and I'm drowsy. My wife knows how it is when I'm tired and I'm trying to drive. I'm not focused. I don't see the dangers that I should see, and I don't see my reaction time is seriously impeded because I'm tired and I'm sleepy. Paul says, cast off the works of darkness. There are things that we need to get rid of. We need to wake up and see those things and then call them what they are. Call them sin. And not somehow make room for them in our lives, but call them what they are. Call them sin. And we're challenged to be awake and recognize the inroads the devil is attempting to make into our lives. Call sin what it is in your own life, and then by God's grace, cast it off. And I'm glad to inform you tonight, and I have a personal testimony that we can enjoy victory over those sins as we cast them off by God's power. We cast them off and call them what they are. God wants us to have victory, and he gives us victory as we're serious about casting those things off. Also in verse 3, the third point I have, he says, let us put on the armor of light. And the way to be protected from the temptations and the traps that our enemy, the devil, has set for us and has put out there for us is to put on the armor. And he calls it the armor of light. And this armor is so clearly defined back in Ephesians chapter 6, a very, very familiar passage. But verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We're called to arm ourselves. Put the armor of God on. You know, we can sit here all evening, all night, and talk about the armor of God and what it is and how effective it is and how we can defend ourselves. But unless we put it on, it's useless. Unless we put that armor on, unless we avail ourselves of that armor, why, it's not going to help any of us a thing. And it's a daily requirement. We arm ourselves as we take in God's word, and that's so clear in Ephesians 6 there. We use the sword of the Spirit. It's an offensive weapon, but the helmet of salvation, and where do we learn about all those things? It's in the Word of God, And so we go there. We need to go there daily and immerse ourselves in the Word of God and become familiar with it. Let it speak to us. Read it and let God's Spirit help us to apply it to the particular situation that we're facing today. Also, communication with God and prayer and opening ourselves up to the direction of the Holy Spirit. The armor of light, he talks about in verse 13. As we have the armor of light, we can walk honestly. And we can live a life of transparency and openness before God and each other. And it's a service like we're in this evening. Unless we're walking an honest and a transparent life, it really isn't going to do any of us a bit of good to go through the rituals of this. But as we are honest and as we open our lives before God, it's part of that armor of light that helps it to make a difference in our life. Verse 14 now, and number 4, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's actually what I've titled this message this evening. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, as I read this passage, and the question came to me, isn't that what I did when I accepted Jesus into my heart? Isn't that what you did when you accepted Christ into your heart? Didn't you put on the Lord Jesus Christ? And I believe that's true. But I'd like to suggest to each of us this evening, and especially as it relates to our council and communion service, that putting on the Lord Jesus Christ is a progressive thing. And it's something that we do each day. And I believe our goal as a Christian should be to be more like Christ in everyday living. And it calls for being critical in our own thoughts and our own motives. And we find ourselves thinking things and maybe doing things. I think it's good if we take a step back and we say, you know what? Is this putting on Jesus Christ? Is this how Jesus would relate to this situation? Is this how Jesus thinks? And judge our thoughts and actions from that perspective. I believe it's good to think about, especially as it relates to the council service. When I think of putting on the Lord Jesus Christ, when I thought of that, my mind went back to Philippians chapter 2, and I'd like to just read the first 8 verses of Philippians 2. Follow along if you would. Philippians 2 and verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort in love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Those verses are always very challenging to me as I read them, and especially verse 5. He enumerates some things there in verses 2 and 3 and 4. And then in verse 5, basically what he's saying is, you need to have a mind like that. You need to have a mind like Jesus had. And he talks about being like-minded. And don't let anything be done through strife or vainglory, or to draw attention to yourself, or to enhance your own agenda. Don't be so concerned about your own things, but be more concerned about the things of others and the things that concern others. Be actively interested in the affairs of others. And then in verse 7, he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. It's not natural for us to want to be a servant. That's not natural for us. We would rather be served. At least that's how it is for me. But we look at Christ, the example of Christ, the mind of Christ, and Jesus was a servant. That's what he did. That's what he came to this world to do. And putting on Jesus Christ means that we serve others. We put others first. We give deference to others. I sort of see verse 14 as being a summary of these verses. He talks about waking up and casting off the works of darkness and putting on the armor of light and walking honestly. And then he says, in summary, put on Jesus Christ. You know, we can talk all evening about casting off the works of darkness. What's good, what's bad, what we should do, what we shouldn't do. Paul says, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Be like Jesus. Follow Jesus' example in everyday life. Putting on the Lord Jesus Christ is, he goes on in verse 14 and he says, make not provision for the flesh. And it's sort of an opposite. We're either going to be putting on Jesus Christ or we're going to be making room for the flesh. Make not provision for the flesh. Don't feed the flesh. And that's what, you know, there's things in our life that we sort of enjoy. Maybe they're not always wrong, but maybe they are. And we tend to look for ways to defend them in my life. And we know that maybe it's not right. And Paul says here, make not provision for the flesh. Don't try to think of all the reason why it's okay. Rather, put on Jesus Christ and live your life like he would live his life. He lived his life. Matthew 16 and verse 24, we have this verse. If any man will come after me. And then notice this. If you want to be a disciple of Christ, let him deny himself and take up his cross and then follow me. And that was challenging to me as I thought of that. There's this thing of self-denial and not making provision for the flesh. You know, it's so easy to become defensive of things in our life that really we know they probably are besetting. They are a besetting sin, and we tend to try to make room for them. Paul's challenge is, put on Jesus Christ. Don't make provision for the flesh. Let's allow this service this evening, let's allow the communion service Sunday morning to be a means of kind of be a rejuvenating experience for us and a waking up experience, whatever the case may be. I'm not here to suggest that we're a bunch of sleepy Christians, but I do know that I need services like this. I need times when I focus on these kind of these kind of subjects and these kind of things, and I think about them, and maybe you're not feeling sleepy, but you may need encouragement and rejuvenation. Let this service be that to you. May we be challenged to sense our responsibility to be intentional in casting off the things that are dragging us down spiritually and choose rather to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless this service.